You are back in the zone. Arkansas's longest running midday sports talk show. Coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio on the Buzz Radio Network. Be a part of the fun by calling 501-433-1037.
You got your dumb original. You got your dumb original. Our entertainer's dumb original.
Welcome back, 1133. Matt Harris joining us in the studio one last time. The sponsorship with our friends at Exceptional Physical Therapy ended last week, but I do want to thank them for their support of our segment.
Thanks, girls.
And we enjoyed them so much, and we enjoyed you so much through the season. And Matt said, man, I wish I could come in today. And I'm like, well, I'm almost positive that you can. And this is much more convenient than going all the way out to West Little Rock for you.
Very true.
Offices down the street. Tell, for those who do not know what you do for a living, tell people what you're doing and how they might reach you in case they're interested in working with you in another foray.
Thank you. I work for the Hatcher Agency downtown on 3rd Louisiana. I sell property and casualty insurance. Been going there for about 4 months now. Been licensed for 3 years and just starting to kind of drum it up, make cold calls all day, and try to go out there and make some business. I'm available. Call the agency at 375-3737. But it's going good. Just came down the road to see you guys.
I'm glad you did, because we want to get your take on the season, the LSU game. We obviously are going to play these Iron Bowl clips. Why don't we get that out of the way first, and then, then we'll talk about Arkansas, because I know folks will want to talk about that probably more so.
Equally as interested.
Did you watch the game, Iron Bowl?
I was golfing with my dad, my brother, and my uncle. We came in with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. We came in and saw Auburn stuff Alabama on 4th and 1. When they should have kicked a field goal, we saw that. That's where we came in. So
what you missed was
beautiful.
Their gaffes in the kicking game earlier that led them to that decision.
They replayed it. That's why they went for it on fourth down. We got caught up. I mean, it was a perfect time. If you wanted to miss the game, I mean, I kept on my phone and everything. But we came in, and they showed the highlights of this kicker missing it, going for it on fourth down, Auburn stuffing them. I mean, I was just like – already engulfed in this game. One snap, I was already we were just sold. So I was with, you know, my uncle who played at Arkansas, my dad, obviously, my brother played for University of Richmond. All four of us were just glued to this
team. Your brother's a Spider?
He's a Richmond Spider.
How about that?
His last year was the year before they won the national championship. Oh, first year out.
You know, this game had that moment that makes it rise above other great games. And I mean, you knew you were watching something historic even before the game started because it's the first time that game
ever,
you know, meant for a division or even a conference championship. Mm-hmm. And then as you're watching it, or in my case, listening to it, like this may go to overtime. This is incredible. But nobody could expect the game to end the way that it did.
No, ever. I've seen a kick returned in the NFL by Cromartie from the end zone, 108 yards. Special play, absolutely, but no time on the clock for the title in the fourth quarter against your ultimate. I mean, you couldn't have – I mean, this stuff that movies are made of.
It was a perfect storm of awesome.
I mean, that's the thing that movies are made of. You can't write that script any better, and they just so happened to stumble upon it. Like, talk about the best luck in the world for old Malzahn down there. I mean, he did call a heck of a game, but – who calls that?
We're going to go reverse order of compelling. We're going to start with Vern Lundquist, with all due respect, Vern. And Vern got lost a couple of times. I'm going to guess his days are numbered. I will say this. I think Vern is getting worse every year. I actually think Lee Corso was extremely good on Saturday, because I listened to it on, I don't know where I was driving around. Where were we on Saturday? I don't know. I was driving around somewhere on Saturday in Kansas City, and we were listening to it. I didn't watch that much of it, but I was listening to it. He sounded very good, and he made some good points.
Lee did?
Yeah.
Good.
And then he pulled the old switcheroo, and he went with the apparently Auburn is the only school, and this is not a karma thing apparently, because it didn't work out that way, but Auburn is the only school that will not let him put the mascot head on.
Really?
That's
why?
What he said. I don't know. It's stupid. But anyway, he goes with the elephant instead,
and
it didn't work out, so he picked wrong. Anyway, so here is the CBS call.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson, who I do think is very good. I like Gary.
I'm iffy sometimes.
I could do without Vern. But anyway, here we go.
57 yards to win.
Hey, that's not it. That's Eli Gold.
Chris Davis is going to drop back into the end zone.
That's not it either. Okay. I'm going to do this eventually.
Cody Mandel.
That's also not it. Do we have Eli?
Yeah.
I think you put Eli in twice.
I'll fix it.
Okay.
Let me say this. Vern Lundquist, this just goes on a resume of nothing but a career of historic calls. Vern, I've got it in front of me here. Vern, he called the famous Jack Nicklaus birdie putt in the 1986 Masters, the 50th Masters tournament. He called Christian Leitner's buzzer beater against Kentucky.
Against Pelfrey.
He called, obviously, the Auburn Hail Mary against Georgia. I mean, and he called Tiger Woods' dramatic 16th hole chip in birdie.
That is a great call. That's so, one I never get tired of seeing.
This one's on the list. I mean, this is top five in his career, and a career that's filled with incredible calls. Yeah.
The one thing he didn't say was this.
What are they doing?
Yes, and we were all wondering, what are they doing? That's officially a 57-yarder
well,
now.
You know, Saban was trying to run the clock off. If anyone knows sports, he ran two draw plays in a row. Auburn's defense just let them gash them. They were no way trying to get in field goal position. They were trying to run the clock out. I mean, did Alabama have a timeout? Whether they did or didn't, they're trying to run the clock out. They ran two draws in a row.
And you think about it, if T.J. Yeldon had gone out of bounds 1 second later, it would have changed the outcome.
Completely different situation.
Is that not remarkable?
I mean, it's just – He did so well of a job that he put that coaching staff in a situation where they had to decide, hey, do we want to take a shot or do we want to attempt a 57-yard field goal? And look what happens.
Like you said, Justin, it was a perfect storm of awesome.
Yeah, bingo.
Matt, do we have it? He's still looking at it.
That was the one that was listed on the
That's not CBS? It says CBS right here. But I don't think that's it. That sounded like Eli.
Okay, I'll go grab it from somewhere else.
57 yards to win the Iron Bowl.
It's Eli Gold.
Spots it. Kick on the way. It's got leg. It is sailing. It is short. It is grabbed about 8 yards deep in the end zone. Brought back to the near side. Run down the near sideline. There's nobody there for Alabama. Auburn's going to win. Auburn is going to win the Iron Bowl on a one back of a missed field goal. I don't believe there are any flags down, although I could not see one due to the maze of people on the field.
I need more than that.
Wow.
Well, he did not sound as depressed. Chuck Barrett on the end of the Arkansas-LSU game on that touchdown pass sounded 10 times more depressed. This, I think,
that was the Alabama guy.
Yeah, that was Alabama's Eli Golden. I think this is Rod Bramlett here.
Chris Davis is going to drop back into the end zone in single safety. So I guess if this thing comes up short, he can field it and run it out. All right, here we go. 56-yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow. Oh, my God. Auburn wins. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl. You will ever see. I cannot believe it.
Oh my God.
34-28. War Eagle, everybody.
Yeah, the last 30 seconds of that call is absolutely spectacular. The first 20 seconds, I had no idea where he was except the yard marker or who was in front of him.
Yeah, taking out the left sideline.
But the emotion of that call
that was a good...
is incredible.
Yeah.
The emotion of this call, pretty good, dude.
Not a great way to lose a game, especially for a team that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. It's my responsibility. I think our coaches did a great job, and we just didn't make the plays when we need to make them on third and fourth down in this game today to have a chance to win. I think you got to give Auburn's players a lot of credit. They've had a great season. They played a great game. They made plays when they needed to make them today, and that's probably the difference in the game. First time I've ever lost a game that way. First time I've ever seen a game lost that way. Griff makes them from 60, you know, in practice. So there was a shot. We had to win behind us. We had to win in the fourth quarter. He didn't hit it great. We still should have covered it. Game shouldn't have ended that way.
Let me tell you, head coaches everywhere had a pen and paper out, and they said, when we have a 55-yard field goal to attempt the game-winning field goal, let's just kneel it and go in overtime now. Because that just happened.
Well, or just air it out into the end zone.
That's what we said. I think the percentages for them – although he says the guy can hit from 60 and he had the win. So, I'm thinking, man, a Hail Mary.
I'd run a fake field goal. You get a one-on-one opportunity with a big
talked
body
about
tight end.
He said they.
My brother and I said that pre-snap. Before
this shows you how brilliant that Gus is, though. Because he even told his guys to watch out for it.
Oh, yeah.
While they're lining up for the return, he's saying watch the fake.
Oh, yeah.
They had everything covered.
Yeah. Every
he just told us, you know, watch the fake. And Coach Cheese made the decision to put me back there and catch it. And when I caught it, I just ran, tried to make something happen for the team.
What can you say about this turnaround, what you experienced last year in the Iron Bowl, and what you're experiencing now?
You know, we just stayed together. We fought through adversity. You know, this team is relentless. And together was our thing coming into this year. And that's what we did.
How much are you looking forward to that SEC championship game next week in Atlanta?
We'll be looking forward to it. We're going to go this week and prepare for whoever we got to play. And we know it's going to be a tough game, but we'll pull it out.
You know, the other thing, too, Alabama had to play a lesser than last week. They played Chattanooga or whatever last week.
The week before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Auburn was off.
Bye week.
Had everything in their favor.
Everything just
everything that
for
could
them.
Go their way
in
went their
Auburn,
way. And I mean, it's all going to come crashing down this weekend when they lose to Missouri.
You think so?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's going to be a good game.
Somebody on the station has to take a stand for Missouri. I don't know why I wouldn't.
Yeah. I'm taking a stand for Mizzou along with you. I think that they are going to win
this. That's because you want to sleep in your bed this week.
No, I'm a lot. Look, I don't root for the Cardinals openly, so.
Fair enough.
You're touche.
I didn't realize that Julie was a Missouri grad.
Yeah.
Well.
She does the whole M-I-Z-Z-O-U.
That's
she
pretty
did
annoying.
That going to sleep the other night.
That sounds like Chris Givens, our mutual friend, who was one of the more irritating Missouri fans I know, but I am rooting for him. And it does make me hearken back to a couple of years ago when Missouri was being brought in. And there's, of course, an affection for A&M in a way that there wasn't for Missouri because of the old Southwest Conference connection and that.
Yeah.
But everybody said, Missouri sucks. Missouri's terrible. Missouri's awful. And I had to remind everybody
that we got beat in the Cotton Bowl by Missouri.
Killed, C-I-L-L, my
Tony
Razorbacks.
Temple set a rushing record.
220 plus.
Well, heck, we thought we were practicing dime personnel. That's six defensive backs for people out there who don't know. All week because Chase Daniels, that's all they did was throw it around, and all of a sudden they just hand off left, right. We missed more tackles. I don't know. It was a cold day.
It was a bad day.
It
I sat in the stands
day.
And watched that
it
Arkansas team get
cold.
Shellacked, and then I had to drive home after. It was horrible.
We could have played Tennessee Chattanooga. We were going to lose that game. We had no fire in our bellies. The coaching staff was falling apart. We knew that, I mean, Darren and Felix were leaving. They didn't care.
More importantly, not only is this team competitive, and again, they had a bad year last year. They only won five games.
It's their first year.
I'd love to have had
that
five wins last year.
But, you know, let me say this about Missouri. They were a respectable program.
Thank you.
I wasn't.
But, Matt, you didn't sit here and listen to it for weeks on end.
I'm sure.
They suck. They're terrible.
Right.
They're a joke. Why
right.
are we letting them in? They're awful.
Right.
Yeah, their basketball team's okay. But, oh, by the way, their volleyball team is hosting an NCAA regional. They're undefeated. When's the last time you saw a volleyball team go undefeated on the season? It's been a good year for Missouri.
Well,
state of Missouri.
Yeah, the state, even in the Kansas City side.
Yeah.
They were comparing those, I'm sure, the Florida States and Clemson. Like I was, too. I would have rather still had a Florida State other than a Missouri. But the recruiting is what people forget. The A&Ms and the Missouris have jumped up from where they were 2-3 years ago because they're getting the DGBs. He was on the fence with Arkansas, and when he got wind that, hey, Missouri, my hometown, is going to be a SEC school, that was the deal breaker. I guarantee it. They're getting recruits now in the past 2 years. That's all it takes. Side note, give Bielema a chance to get these recruits because they do help.
Well, not to mention you've got St. Louis and Kansas City. There are athletes. Those are big communities.
Heck yeah, Wingo. We got him out of St. Louis. We weren't going to get Wingo if Missouri
bad example.
Was in the, yeah.
But anyway, I see where you're working.
Right. He's with the Bills now. He's got talent.
Okay, so here is he really still in there?
Yeah.
Okay. Matt, which one is it?
I just switched off the audio. It's the same one.
Okay, here we go. This is the Vern Lundquist call of it.
Mandel will hold it. Now they've officially made it 57 yards.
Remember, a blocked kick can go the other way, too. He's got to be careful and get it up.
On the way. No, returned by Chris Davis. Davis goes left. Davis gets a block. Davis has another block. Chris Davis. No flags. Touchdown. Auburn. An answered prayer.
That was beautifully minimalist by Vern Lundquist.
Beautiful TV call.
You could hear that stadium erupting. I mean, that was a... I can put myself back there in that amazing stadium. I mean, that's one of the better venues in the SEC that gets overlooked by the LSUs and the Alabamas. Yeah. Jordan Hare has 90,000-plus dedicated fans that love their Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, it was funny because they were comparing it to last year's Iron Bowl, and I read a thing, and it said much smaller crowd. And I'm like, yeah, they had 92,000 over jam-packed in there, but it's like 108 in Tuskaloosa,
I know.
So it is smaller. Mike.
What you want.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, I was going to see if you guys heard that, and it may have been my imagination, but I could have sworn on the TV, the announcers, one of them said when he got about the 20-yard line coming out of the end zone, one of them said, there's nobody going to catch him. They got all beef on the field. Nick Saban loaded the line because he had that last field goal blocked, so he had all his beef on the field, had nobody that could run and catch this guy.
I don't know that they said that. I think there was after the play on the replay that Danielson pointed it out. I remember somebody saying something about it, but you heard the live call right there, so that was what was said. He did point out that it can go the other way. He was talking about a block, but obviously the return was part of the factor as well.
I think Danielson used the term fat guys on the field after the play was done.
The other thing is, I don't know that he did anything different. That's what a field goal block is.
Yeah, exactly. You're not having wideouts and free safeties and corners.
No, you got your beefcakes up front trying to block guys out.
Everyone knows that's a dangerous return.
And you guys mentioned the throw. It could have very easily gone an interception and ran back as well, although it's highly unlikely.
Right.
But because then you've got receivers and somebody faster on field, but that's also a chance.
The likelihood of a 100-yard return off of that is so much less. Yeah. And I understand. Look, if the kid can kick a 60-yarder, you got to make a field goal to win the game. Yeah. I have no problem with it. What I do have a problem with is I'm not attempting a 32-ish yarder earlier on, and I don't care how many problems you're having in your kicking game. That essentially wins you the game as well.
Oh, Hail Mary is not going to be returned by an interception because you're throwing it into a scrum in the end zone. I mean, that was from the 35-yard line.
Right.
So you're going to throw it into the end zone. There's going to be, maybe four or five players all around the ball.
Well, and that's a ball that
they have the knockdown mentality. They're not trying to pick it and run it back.
Theoretically,
like
tell Georgia that.
I don't have a problem with the kick, but I really don't have a problem with the kick. But I would also say that's a 30. That pass is something that we could all make. I mean, that's not like he's got to throw it 50 yards in the air.
No, I agree.
You realize too, Gus Malzahn will never have to work another day in his life as long as he lives in Auburn because he's been with the national championship team as offensive coordinator, and he just beat these guys in the Iron Bowl. I mean, think about that.
The way he did.
He could go 0-8 next year and still have people love him because of this game of the decade.
I'm sorry. Have you heard of Gene Chizik?
Yeah.
Because he won a national title, and a couple years later they ran him out of town.
Yeah,
so let's hold off on that. Not to mention, Mike, how quickly we go from hero to goat. What if he makes a coaching gaffe? What if he makes a risky decision and they blow it this weekend and lose to Missouri?
Yeah.
Keeping them out of the national championship game, or at least in contention for it, and sending Missouri to the BCS game.
And maybe that'd be BCS.
And the other thing is, too, if they lose this weekend, Alabama gets the other BCS spot more than likely.
Ooh, that'd be
sucks for them. Anyway, Mike, appreciate the call.
Mike.
Thank you. Real quick, William.
Hey, guys.
Go ahead, bud. Yeah, you're on.
Hey, man. Hey, real quick question. If Auburn beats Missouri, that gets them another quality win, and like they did against Alabama. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Ohio State and Florida State have not had that many, have they? Wouldn't that give them some points? And
Florida State's had more.
Not really, though, because it's interesting you say that, because I have talked to or heard from several people, and people that I've read some things, and I've also seen, to a man, there is a general consensus that Ohio State actually has a better schedule played this year than Florida State does, which tells you all you need to know about the ACC.
Yeah.
Their one game was Clemson. And Clemson, they beat to death, and Clemson just got smashed by South Carolina this weekend.
They got a good team.
That's their best team. That's their best win. And the other teams, they really haven't played anybody. Duke is 20th in the country.
That Miami game, were they ranked when they played Miami?
Yeah, they were.
Miami was number 7 then, and
they've since
been a bit exposed.
Yeah, well, Miami's not even in the top 25 now.
They started that trend because Miami had that mentality of the U is back when Florida State and them met.
But the point is, Matt, they're not a top 25 team, and there was nobody on their schedule. And you can say what you want about – I just went blank there. William, thanks for the call. You can look at Wisconsin, even after losing this weekend to Penn State, is 21st in the top 25, okay? So, and this is in the BCS rankings. Okay. They're 21st. Looking. Michigan State's 10th, and they're going to play Michigan State this weekend.
Yep.
And that's it. So it's not a great league,
Big Ten
admittedly.
Football.
No, it isn't. It isn't a great year at all for the Big Ten. But for the ACC, Florida State at 1,
and nobody else.
Well, and then
Clemson at 13. That's
Clemson.
It.
Digging Clemson, and they killed them. And Clemson also lost to South Carolina, which finishes what? Clemson's or South Carolina's what, the fourth best team in the SEC? Fifth best team in the SEC?
Yeah.
Duke is number 20 in the BCS.
They're 20. They put them in there.
Yeah, Duke is number 20 right now.
But so they South Carolina's ranked fourth in the BCS. You could make an argument that no, not really.
South Carolina's four?
They're fourth best in the SEC at number eight in the country.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Okay.
So the ACC is even weaker than the Big Ten is as far as the you know
that's
any kind of bragging rights in the BCS. They're both bad.
Yeah, they're both
but
bad.
What kills me is Florida State is far and away the number one team. Nobody's catching them. I don't care if Auburn wins by 100. They're not catching them.
No.
The other thing is Florida State has not only taken care of its business, they have destroyed everybody they played this year.
Yeah.
So they have won convincingly in every game. Ohio State's had a handful of scares. We got to take a timeout. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this hour, 11:53.